Some big news in the world of tech giants was the acquisition by Thales of cybersecurity software and services company Imperva, initially announced in 2023 and now taking shape. The significance of bringing Imperva into the Thales world cannot be understated, since it represents a melding of complementary skills at a time when the world needs it more than ever. But that's not entirely why my guests and I are here right now. Coming from Thales and Imperva as they do, they're not here just to pat each other on the back. There's much more to talk about, like the need for better board-level conversations around security, understanding the pivotal role APIs play in commerce, and with that, the strengths and vulnerabilities inherent in this technology. Need more? Well, we'll also talk about bots, good bots and bad bots, structured and unstructured data, confidential compute, global supply chain, DORA, the Digital Operations Resilient Act, and of course, generative AI. Think we can't get it all into 30 minutes? Well, think again. I'm Steve Prentice, and this is the Thales Security Sessions Podcast. To discuss this large collection of security-flavored items, it is my pleasure to welcome Nani Singh, VP Application Security and Customer Success at Imperva, and Todd Moore, Global Head of Data Security Products at Thales. Let's talk about the acquisition first, as it is huge news unto itself. Really, it's the partnership of two tech sector powerhouses, so from your inside perspectives, where do you see it? What does it mean for the business community who may have worked with either or both of these companies over the years, as well as for those who may start thinking about a relationship based on this development? Todd?
I think it's a huge opportunity for Thales and for our customers and for the industry as a whole. Consolidation of large cybersecurity vendors has been happening for a long period of time. And I think where we sat at Thales, we had a very strong identity and a data security practice, but we weren't answering all of the questions our customers were asking us. Basically, we were very, very good at protecting identities and protecting data when it was at rest most of the time, sometimes in motion, but definitely not really in use. And our customers said to us, you know, we really want something more. We want to be able to, you know, find that critical data as there's an explosion of data happening out there, sprawl all over the place. And there's these new regulations, compliance regulations that we have to meet. We just can't keep up with all this data explosion. And it's great that once we find the data, Thales, you can help us protect it, but we need a better way of understanding, you know, what's happening from a data perspective and being able to find it, then protect it. So with Imperva, we've added the second part of our story, and it's really around the visibility piece. We're able now to look in a lot of different places where data is being generated. We're able to look for behaviors and look at insights and analytics around that data to see when something's happening that's not necessarily the way it should be happening. And we're able to detect and notify, and in some cases block, activities in that area. And ultimately, that ties us back into what we do best in terms of data encryption and tokenization and things like that. So really protecting and meeting those compliance requirements. So I think Thales now can tell a complete story. If you think of it from a 360-degree circular view, data continues to be created. We want to continue to find it, and then we want to be able to protect it. So it really fills out our whole story from a data governance point of view, which we hear more and more CISOs talk about. They want a single pane of glass. They want to consolidate a platform to really track and manage the data throughout its whole life cycle. And now we can do that. And so really excited about that.
And I believe there's something to be said for application security as well.
Yeah, Imperva, through this acquisition, brought us application security, which we at Thales never focused on before. But it's really a huge part of, again, the protection of information throughout its whole life cycle. And it plays really nicely with our identity and data security spaces. And in some cases, I'm a data security person. I'm really excited about the embellishment of what we do in data security. But app security is really kind of the gem that came along with the Imperva acquisition. We have a whole nother way, a whole nother set of use cases and areas that we can now focus on.
So Todd is bringing up some significant points about the blending of talents to allow for data protection and application security. What else, Nani, from your perspective as VP of Application Security and Customer Success, what else do you see coming from this merger?
At Imperva, our mission was always protecting data and all paths to it. And application security is where we protect data as it's being created by these applications or being used by these applications. So this is very, very exciting to be part of Talus and to really be completing this whole offering that we can provide to our customers.
Okay, so we've got some nice words about the union, which is terrific. So when you look out at the world, now that your skill sets are conjoined, what do you see? What are the types of threats that this partnership can make you better qualified to take on? What are you seeing as the dangers that organizations out there are facing, especially with the ever-increasing speed and sophistication of bad actors? Where are you going to aim your talents?
Sure. So whenever we go out and talk to CISOs and other security executives within companies, I guess I would say, you know, they really three areas that we see they're focused on. First is around data governance, which plays into the compliance angle and managing data throughout its whole life cycle. And we just launched a data threat report that talks about that in particular. We had 3,000 IT executives or security executives, excuse me, look at across the organizations and talk about how important compliance and data governance is. So that's one area we hear a lot about. The other area that keeps CISOs up at night is cloud sovereignty. Cloud security. So that's an area that we can dig more into, but it's really around protecting information, not just on-premise, but as it moves to the cloud and as it moves amongst multiple clouds. And so that's an area that is becoming more and more important. We found through our studies that over 85% of organizations now have a cloud first or a cloud strategy. So securing in public cloud and SaaS applications is more and more important. And the third area that CISOs mentioned keep them up at night is around application and API security. And for me, that was a surprising metric at first. But when you dig into it, you realize how important APIs have come, not just because of the data that's contained within those APIs and the sensitivity of who you're talking to, whether it's a machine or a human through those APIs. But more importantly, it's also the secrets that are being passed around passcodes, QR codes, just different pieces of information that is inside those APIs and how they're communicating and being set up. It's really become a very important or a big issue for CISOs and being able to protect their organizations because they have to make sure that the right individuals, the right machine identities, the right entity is actually working directly with the APIs and applications within their system.
Nani, what are you hearing when you talk to CISOs and other individuals within organizations?
Yeah, I think very consistent with what you said, Todd. But one of the things that I would like to add to that is that security is now a business concern that is really beyond just the CISOs. It's actually a board level conversation. And our CISOs are often telling us that they are having to report on a quarterly basis on the risks to the business. And they want us to help them to articulate very clearly what the security solutions they have are doing in terms of protecting the business and also in terms of obviously compliance, which you touched upon earlier. But just talking a little bit about API security and how things have changed, I think digital transformation is something that we've been hearing about for a while, but in the past few years, particularly during the pandemic, there was an acceleration of digital transformation. So, for instance, one of the ways that things changed for us was how we placed an order at a restaurant. Instead of paper menus, we now have started pulling out our mobile phones to scan a QR code. And when we do that, that mobile device is actually using an API. It's connecting through an API to a backend. And that backend is presenting a menu that is also connected through another API to yet another backend that is probably handling a financial transaction. So this proliferation of APIs and the widespread use of APIs has just exploded over the last few years. And the CISOs we talk to are obviously very concerned about how to protect their businesses from APIs that may be forgotten or perhaps not properly implemented in the first place.
Okay, maybe this is a basic question, but are APIs well understood in the C-suite, or do CISOs have to take a step back and explain just how they function and what their role is? In other words, when we talk with senior decision makers about risk in specific areas like APIs, what sort of granularity do you go to? Or do you find that today's executives, and especially senior executives, are they more familiar than they once were, making for an easier conversation?
I think other than CIOs and CISOs, a lot of business people in non-tech companies don't necessarily understand what APIs are. So I do think that our CISOs and champions have to often explain. And one of the ways in which I've heard it being explained that really resonates with me, and I've seen it resonate with business people, is calling it like the connective tissue that connects the applications and the databases that connect to the applications is really how the applications, you know, connect with the data. And this is how you need to protect basically not just the data itself, but all the paths to that data. So I hear it be talked about in those terms, Steve, like a connective tissue, a connection between applications, a connection between databases. And I think that resonates with the business people.
I like that analogy of connective tissue. And it isn't just, like you said, the data that's being put into an application could be sensitive and it needs to be protected. There's elements of who's putting that in. So there's an identity element. But I like what you said in the connective piece about how it actually communicates. There is a connection from one API, one element to another, and that has to be secured and protected as well, too. So there's a lot happening with these APIs. And your analogy of being in a restaurant and looking at a menu through a QR code, as you walk through that, you can start to map out visually all the different connection points. And anywhere in that sort of path, someone could insert themselves and do something maliciously. So someone has to think about really managing those connections all the way through. And the Imperva tagline about protecting data and all the paths to it, I think, is a very good summary of exactly what our company does now.
Yeah, that is a very good tagline. And it allows us to take the question a little bit further to discuss the people who are responsible for taking care of these APIs and implementing a security strategy. Now, we would assume, of course, that these are CISOs and the teams behind the CISOs. But once again, it could be implied that the interconnectivity of this sort makes it very difficult to defend all sides of a castle at all times. What do you see as the primary threats to API security? And is it appropriate for us to now discuss what are the technologies that are causing the most concern? We've got some great connective tissue holding API security together, but the threats continue to come from all directions. So what are some of those threats?
So I think one of the things that we have started to see over the last few years is that more and more of the threats are automated. These are automated attacks. And this is really not surprising because today, when you look at the internet traffic, only about a little over 50% of it is human traffic. The rest of it is actually automated bots. And about a third of the internet traffic is bad bots. And we will be releasing a report, our annual bad bot report, in the next several weeks. And you will see a lot more data on it there. But this is really one of the main things that has changed and continues to explode is the automated attacks.
And maybe just as a teaser for the bad bot report, what form or forms do these automated attacks take? Where do they come from? What makes them so efficient? And are they specifically targeted for particular APIs and particular organizations, or are they more generic? Sorry, there's a lot of questions to throw at you at the same time there.
What we see on the application security side is that the threats differ based on the industry. One of the industries where we see a lot of bad bot traffic is actually in the travel industry. And this is where most people are now making all their bookings online. And it actually starts to hurt business metrics of the airlines when bots start to try and make false bookings. This is where bots start to mess with their ticket inventory and really cause a lot of damage to our travel airline customers. So a large number of our hospitality and airline and hotels, those customers start to see a lot of bad bot traffic.
These automated devices, these bad bots, which are clearly owned by somebody somewhere, what is their primary intention? Is it financial opportunity? Sabotage? Is it to induce fear, like a sort of terrorism type approach? Just to stick with the travel industry for just a moment, what is the motivation for making this kind of abuse happen?
In a lot of cases, tickets are sold on multiple sites, and the availability of the tickets also drives the pricing of those tickets. So it's usually to mess with how well a travel site that is offering those online ticketing, you know, options essentially does, right? So they can start to hike the prices up. Or one of the other industries where we see a lot of bot traffic is, I can't remember the exact word we use for this, but it's like sneaker bots, you know, like when new sneakers are released. Or one common one is like playing cards, Pokemon cards or gaming cards. That's when they start to really just basically suck up and use, buy up all the inventory and then release it later.
Okay, so there is some degree of financial motivation then if it's a matter of owning these items, snapping them up and selling them. Now, the reason why I ask these questions and delve into it is because sometimes maybe it is a good idea to isolate an industry, like the travel industry in this case, to wake people up to the immediacy of the dangers. I find that when people talk about threats in general, there can be a great degree of complacency or detachment. They might say, for example, well, it's going to be the biggest companies that get hit, or we are too small, or it only happens in somebody else's sector and we're not in that sector. So to get people to look at the fact that truly any industry can be targeted by highly specific automated threats like this, maybe this travel industry analogy will help shake off a little of the willful blindness and perhaps help them justify the cost of the defense. So what else do we need to consider? If the automated bot approach is the biggest threat to APIs, that shouldn't mean that we should take our eyes off the other dangers, of course. Todd?
What I can say to the other threat that we see that affects the whole ecosystem, no matter whether you're a large enterprise or a small enterprise, is ransomware. That's a huge issue that we're seeing. And I know it's a transition or a turn away from talking about bots, perhaps, but what we're seeing with the ransomware attacks is they continue to increase. We saw that in our most recent study. They're not going away. And what's disturbing is you don't see as many ransomware attacks in the press, which leads you to believe that the ransomware actors are targeting the smaller businesses, and folks are just paying the ransom and moving on with their life. So they're not being watched as closely as the big guys. Large organizations are doing the same thing. I think they're getting attacked, and they're just going ahead and paying the fine so they can continue with business continuity. So the attacks are not going away, and it's kind of disturbing to hear that all size industries and organizations are being impacted. In the ransomware area, there really is no silver bullet to protect against that. And you can maybe tie it back to Nani, what you're talking about, the automated bots, that, you know, there's no way to, you know, put up a shield to stop all attacks coming your way. The best thing you can do is it's more of a prevention thing to really protect yourself by finding what's important to you and putting a wall around that. And making sure that when the ransomware attack does occur, because it will, you're able to at least shield away some of your most critical or important information so it won't be impacted when that attack occurs. So it's almost, you know, looking throughout an organization and recognizing that not everything is the most valuable, important thing. I know that's a different mindset than from years ago. It's really finding those critical pieces to you, whether it's in the application or data space, and then building that really fortified wall around your critical information or applications and making sure that gets protected no matter what type of attack comes your way.
I'm really glad you brought up the ransomware attacks, Todd, because one of the offerings that we provide on the application security side is DDoS protection. And that happens to be one of the most common ways in which bad actors go after companies by unleashing these DDoS attacks. And DDoS prevention is one of the ways, as you said, Todd, to secure yourself from a ransomware claim, because they're essentially taking down your business by attacking it.
Now, this brings three key areas into discussion at the same time. Not only the notion of bad bots going after APIs, but also the relationship conceptually to ransomware. Now, these are two demons that organizations are always struggling with, and now you're tying this together with the standard DDoS, which has been around for a while as an attack vector, and one that is as much of a threat now as it always has been, if not more. I like the idea, Todd, as you were saying, about putting something like a bulkhead around specific kinds of information, recognizing strategically that not everything has the same value, and isolating things more specifically and purposely. So do you find that there are new technologies and new techniques that are helping organizations and companies keep pace with the endless creativity and persistence of threat actors? Are there new tools or new techniques on the horizon in any of these areas that can address this? I mean, just simply the idea that almost 50% of all internet traffic is bots is quite a shocking number, at least it is to me. So when we look at the immediate future, is there anything new on the horizon that is of interest to you or that you are developing to help make these things work better in our favor?
Well, we wouldn't have a good podcast if we didn't bring up artificial intelligence, generative AI. So we had to say that. But before I go there and give some feedback on that, I would talk about, in terms of the fortress and protecting information, there is this element of post-quantum cryptography coming our way. We see in the news, and you know, the buzz has kind of went down a little bit, but it shouldn't have. Quantum computers are being developed. NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, is releasing some post-quantum resistant algorithms this year. And once those algorithms are released, they'll start deprecating the existing asymmetric algorithms that would be impacted by a post-quantum computer. So, you know, folks are really starting to get their heads around what it means to have a quantum computer and what's going to be at risk once that computer exists, and whether they're protecting data in motion, harvest now, decrypt later, or they're putting that sort of fortress around their data with these post-quantum resistant algorithms now to get ready for the future to protect themselves. So I think we're starting to see a lot more movement in that area. I can tell you from a business perspective, a cryptography and encryption data security perspective, a lot more interest in what's happening in the post-quantum space. And so that's going to continue to accelerate. On the AI artificial intelligence space, I'll say a few words and hand back to Nani. I feel that you know, there is the positive and negative sides of AI, right? It can be used for good and can be used for bad. And bad actors will use generative AI to spoof, deepfake a lot of our systems to try to get in. So we have to be conscious to that. What we're doing on our side to protect individuals as well as organizations is finding ways that we can use generative AI to you know, detect things before they become a malicious attack, like the ransomware we were talking about before. We can really get better contextual information around what's happening and much more quickly determine that something bad is happening within an organization, a network, within a file system. We can block that, and we have actions, you know, active actions to block. So, you know, we're going to use generative AI to be able to really quickly come to a conclusion about something that's not right. For us, finding critical data is so important. And I think that generative AI can help us there. It's being able to look at the context of who's using the data, why it's being used, should they be using it. And from there, we can actually reduce the false positives or false negatives around what is critical data and classify it appropriately and then protect it appropriately. So a lot of great areas that this technology is going to apply going forward. And we're also looking for ways to make sure that we secure that technology so it's used for good and not always or never for evil. So that's just some ideas from my perspective. Nani, I'd love to hear what you have to say.
So I think first let me begin by the bad side. So one of the things that we've already started seeing is that bad actors are using generative AI and LLMs to basically write simple bots. So that's actually helping make the problem worse in terms of bad bots. So firstly, I just want to say that for years, Imperva has used machine learning to basically mitigate a lot of these attacks. But what we are looking at doing goes back to where I started earlier, Steve, where we were talking about the need for our security experts to explain to the business really what happened. And this is where we think that generative AI can be extremely helpful to help us come up with the narrative on these are the kinds of attacks we saw, this is how we mitigated it, and really put it in a way that enables our security champions to explain what happened and how we prevented an attack.
The report, the Imperva State of API Security report, concludes that traditional security measures are not enough and that an integrated approach is crucial for ensuring the protection of APIs. Perhaps using the technology to help explain the dangers is great. Also, identifying new creative solutions. Maybe they're not all new, but techniques like the isolation of selected data and the need for more visibility, perhaps into API infrastructures themselves, if it is not sufficiently well known already. So it seems we're at, like so many times before in our history, we're at a turning point, maybe with all of this new super fast technology and super sophisticated technologies, not just AI, but also in terms of cryptography, for example, and quantum computing. It looks like our conversation is coming full circle. We started out talking about how great it is for these two organizations, Talis and Imperva, to now be working together on these challenges using complementary skill sets. And we've now looked at a fascinating and maybe disturbing selection of threats, and all of this placed in a continuously unfolding universe of territoriality in which the data that we're striving to protect is itself under various types of scrutiny and regulation, hence the new DORA regulations coming out of Europe. So I'm just now wondering whether there are any other particular kinds of concerns or points of interest that you have as you look towards targets to set your talents on. So what can we share with the public about what they can expect from you?
So on the Imperva side, we have always taken a great deal of pride in our security efficacy. More than 90% of our customers use our WAF solution in blocking mode with no exception to policies. And I think that focus on security and leading with security, of being that trusted security partner for our customers, I think that's one of the biggest values that we bring in this partnership with Talis.
For me, I think one of the biggest value of Imperva and Talis coming together is around the people. I mean, people are what makes companies and organizations. And I'm most excited. I'm very excited about seeing how many engineers, security professionals are joining in our team. I mean, there's quite a broad range of engineers with a lot of domain knowledge. And, you know, you hear about workforce challenges, and it's just great to see all these like minds coming together. And it's amazing what we've already accomplished in the last few weeks, just talking with engineers and putting ideas out there. I think what you can see on the data security side, a lot more interest in leveraging what we've done with our data security platform and unstructured data. Imperva in the past has really focused on structured data. We have an expertise at Talis on unstructured data. I think you're going to see a combination there. I think we like to see cloud services, both on-premise and in the cloud. So I think they're going to be a lot more focused on as a service, giving our customers a choice to work in hybrid and multi-cloud type of environments and really meet digital sovereignty requirements. And so those are just some of the teasers of where we're focused on. One area we didn't talk about is confidential compute. We're also making some investments in that area. That's kind of the holy grail, if you will, when you go into public cloud environments of how you protect your information. So I think a lot of innovation in those areas as well, too. But again, very excited about having such a big team of like minds. And the world should watch out. There's a lot of great things coming from Talis.
Todd, can you expand upon confidential compute just a little bit more?
For confidential compute, essentially when you put information into a public cloud, it's running on the cloud infrastructure, and you have to inherently trust the cloud provider is protecting that infrastructure. With confidential compute, essentially you can attest to or validate that the infrastructure, the processor that your payload, your application, your workload is operating in, is one that's yours. You can go back and look at the integrity of that infrastructure. You can validate that you're only working in that environment, and you're protected because the cloud service provider can't reach into that environment. That is basically your sandbox. So you're just leasing some space from the cloud service provider, and you're doing your computation, whatever your application is doing. So it really gives you full control of your data end to end. And that is a way for you to make sure that no one has prying eyes or can touch any sensitive data when it leaves your organization to go to the public cloud.
Okay, so what we've done in this half hour is to talk about a range of technologies and techniques and threats, a broad scope actually, which from my perspective reflects well as a way of showing just some of what the Talis Imperva alignment can mean. Do you have any closing thoughts, Nani?
I feel pretty comfortable, Steve, but there's one thought that just occurred to me when you mentioned something about large enterprises and small businesses that, you know, smaller companies also need to be concerned about security. You asked, you said something to that effect. And what it reminded me of is this point about you're as strong as your weakest link, right? And in a lot of cases, these smaller companies, small and medium-sized businesses, are actually suppliers to very large organizations, and particularly financial organizations that, you know, may be multi-billion dollars, but actually working with many, many smaller suppliers. And this is where the supply chain attacks come into play. And also, again, the risk of the APIs, because a lot of the connections between the smaller businesses and these large enterprises is through APIs. So that's why no matter what size of company you are, you have to care about security.
I was just going to add, Steve, to that. Nani, you clicked something in my head around the compliance piece. Is there's so many new compliance laws that are coming out. There's one in particular in Europe called DORA that I've learned about recently for finance and insurance organizations, where it no longer is around you, the enterprise, protecting data. It's about the whole supply chain. You basically have to make sure that your partners and your suppliers have the same security controls that you have. And, you know, DORA came out last year, and it only gave a very short period of time. I think it's January of 2025 for organizations to comply. And so there's a lot of work there to add in some of these concepts of making sure the supply chain is fully protected. And that could be through API security, but it could also just be through identity management as well as other data sharing. So yeah, very important point that the compliance standards are catching up in some of these areas. And we as tech providers have to make sure we're given tools to help them meet these compliance mandates.
Some really interesting food for thought there. My thanks go out to Nani Singh, VP of Application Security and Customer Success at Imperva, and Todd Moore, Global Head of Data Security Products at Talos. The reports that we mentioned in this podcast are the Talos Data Threat Report, released in early March and so available now, the Imperva State of API Security Report, which is available now, it was released in February, and the Imperva Bad Bot Report with a release date of April 16th, 2024. Links to all three of these reports will be available in the show notes to this podcast. Remember, if you like what you hear, please be sure to subscribe and tell a friend or a colleague or a client or all three about the Talos Security Sessions podcast. We will be back again very soon with another episode and another discussion on the topics that you need to know about to successfully carry on in the business of information security. Until then, I'm Steve Prentice. Thanks for listening.